Sermon notes this morning. We're going to continue in our series, No Ordinary Day. And today we're going to address a reality in parents' lives. What do you do with all the time that you have driving your kids to the dance, to a soccer, to whatever event that requires that you gulp down your dinner and race to a commitment? Before I dive in today, I was listening to a great podcast. You might want to write this one down if you're a parent. I've texted it to every one of my kids. I said, I wish I would have had this 30 years ago. Andy Stanley, you know, I'm a great fan of him. Him and his wife, Sandra, did a leadership podcast called Leadership and Parenting. It's two parts. And if you find out what I'm going to say next to be helpful, you might want to listen to these. Andy Stanley, Leadership Podcast, Leadership and Parenting. They basically say to us there are four stages of parenting. This is not in your notes, so if you want to write this down, this would be helpful too. The ages of 1 to 3 are what he, or 1 to 5 are what he calls the discipline years. That's where you're teaching your children about the consequences of behavior. It was interesting. The Stanleys only had 3 rules in their house. Oh, wouldn't that be nice? You know what it was? The 3 D's. Don't be disobedient. Don't be dishonest. And don't be disrespectful. And by the way, what they would do throughout the weeks, they would honor and praise and celebrate obedience. They would celebrate honesty and they would celebrate respect. One of the things that they did, this was so cool. In order to honor their mother, they were not allowed to sit at the table for dinner until she was seated. They stood by their chair, him included, and waited for her to sit. The minute that she sat, everybody else sat down. What a great pattern of honoring mom. Second stage from 6 to 12 is what he calls the training years. That's when you're teaching them the why behind the what. That's where you're connecting the consequences to the behaviors that they have. And it's a great time. Then the third level is ages 12 to 18. Those are the coaching years. And this is where you're a bit off to the sidelines and you're focusing more on connecting than you are correcting. But it doesn't mean that you're not afraid to go onto the field and yank them off the field either if they need it. But the key point here, listen to this, friends, is for allowing natural consequences to happen. After all, they're going to go into the big, big world. And if you protect them from all the consequences that are going to happen in their life, then you're not going to set them up to be good. If you're hovering over them and you're protecting them, you think you're doing it in the name of love, you're not doing it well. The natural consequences. And then ages 14 and on are what he calls the friendship years. And these are the golden years where you're friends with your kids and they want to come home even though they don't have to. Now let's assume you're in the taxi years, which is basically 1 to 15. What do you do? This morning, I want to challenge you and encourage you to not become bitter in the chassis, but to become aware of the car being a classroom because you spend so much time there. Listen to the words of Solomon, Proverbs 22, verse 6. Point your kids in the right direction. When they are old, they won't be lost. What do you despise the most about being a taxi service? Maybe it's because you have to give up your own time and choices. Or what is it? You fill in the blank. What's the next one? You fill in. What is it that you just don't like? You fill in the blank. Every household goes through the phase of being a taxi service for your kids. And when you get the sick feeling in your stomach because I can't wait till my kids can drive themselves to wherever they need to go. You ever had that conversation in your head? Parents? How many? Put your hand up. All right. But there's a whole new set of sick feelings that come when you hand them the keys to the car, by the way. That's when you realize it'd be easier to sit in the driver's seat than sit at home fearful that they're in the driver's seat. So rather than focus on them driving, just make sure you have good insurance. I want to talk about the opportunities that you have while you're in your car, because it's an opportunity to be a conduit of grace. And the biggest challenge, as Cheryl and I were praying about this morning, the biggest challenge today is the fact that you've got little units behind the headsets to plug them in. It's easy to plug them in. Turn on a video. It's easy to plug them in. But what are you missing out on? J. McGraw said this, if you don't talk to your children about the little stuff, they won't talk to you about the big stuff. I have to share with you one story about driving with my kids. One of the great things about talking in a car is you don't have to make eye contact with them, right? When I was making final preparations for this message, I was reminded of the day that my son turned 13, and we had a deal that we were going to go on a trip together and celebrate him turning 13. What he didn't know was I had a plan. It was time to have that talk between a father and a son. And my plan was to go, and we would travel for an hour to a hotel about an hour away, and then as we were going there, we were listening to James Dobson's Preparing for Adolescence tapes. You know this is not going to go well, right? You can picture the strain in my heart as I'm listening to this graphic description that every young person needs to understand, especially boys. And I was looking forward, and I was just praying, oh, God, don't let him ask a question. Don't let him ask a question. We finished the last one. It was all done. We pulled in the hotel. I was going, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We arrived at the hotel, and the hotel had all kinds of kid stuff. It had an arcade, it had a pool. It was to celebrate the fact that it was supposed to be a party. We got checked in, and I phoned home to let his mom know that we were well and how it went. And Ryan said to me, can I talk to Mom? And I said, well, sure. He says, Mom, do you know why Dad brought me here? Do you know what we had to talk about? So she says, so you did have the talk, right? Yeah, we're done. Will you please come and bail me out? I don't want to be here anymore. Please don't miss this today. It's in your notes. Integrate transformation with your transportation. Change your focus from just being a taxi to being open to seize the moments, to instill the goodness and the godliness that you have and the wisdom that you have when the questions come up with your children. Once again, take the opportunity to just not just transport your kids or your grandkids, but be partners with them to grow spiritually. So let's look at this morning. How do you turn your SUV into an MTV? Dr. Tim Elmore wrote a book called Nurturing the Leader Within Your Child. A great book. I'd recommend it for every parent. In it, he talks about being salt in your kids' life. Now, we need salt in our kids' lives by providing the roles of a host, a doctor, a counselor, and a tour guide. Now, listen to this. S stands for say anything. That's the role of a host. What does that mean? It means you take the initiative to have the conversation. A stands for ask questions. That's the role of a doctor. Doctor pokes and prods and asks questions about where you're on, your vital signs, to make sure you're doing okay, to see if there's any area that he needs to understand, that he needs to dive into. You know what? Great parents ask great questions. Thirdly, L stands for listen well. That's the role of a counselor who actively absorbs. Most of us listen, but the biggest communication problem that we have is we don't listen to understand, we listen to reply. And there's a reason for that. I found that out this week as I was studying, as I'm working with another client. We talk 125 to 150 words a minute, but we listen up to 500 words a minute. You want to know why you're distracted? We can't fill it up enough. Listening is a skill. T, transformation. Transition, pardon me, to the truth. T stands for transition to the truth. That's the role of a tour guide. And a tour guide guides key truths, communicates key truths, and gets people to their destination. Many times when you're in the car, there's going to be some teachable moments. They're not always going to be there. You can't plan them. But when they happen, I want you to seize them. Let me show you an example from the Bible. The Israelites were wandering in the desert. Moses had died, and God said to Joshua, let's move into the promised land. And once again, we find the children of Israel making their way to the water's edge. It was the River of Jordan. And it's miraculous. The waters open, and they walk over on dry land. And as they were going through the waterbed, they were instructed that an elder was to pick up a stone for every tribe. And so after they got out to the other side of the riverbed, Joshua constructs a monument of these 12 stones. And look at what he says. It's in your notes. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean to you? Then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a permanent memorial among the people of Israel. You see, God knows children. And he knows that the children are going to ask questions about a pile of rocks. Don't your kids ask you the weirdest questions? And your grandkids? We all know they're going to go through the stage where they ask why. Joshua said, when those kids see the memorial, make sure that you know the answer. You see, it was a demonstration of the deliverance and the power of God on behalf of Israel. Do you have any stone memorials in your lifetime that when the kids ask, why do you serve God? Why do you love Jesus? That you can answer them with a testimony of power? That God's done something in your life? Why was this such an issue for Joshua? Because he knew that our children don't embrace your faith. If they don't embrace your faith, they will lose it forever. Friends, the statistic that I'm still having in my mind about our district conference and the study that happened about the religious nuns, the number of people who are walking away from church and turning their back from God, I have to ask the question, what about our behavior? What about our life was so unattractive that they would flee it? What about our life? What about our walk with God is so authentic and so real? I'm not talking about perfect because you ain't going to do it. But what about your life that they look at that and go, man, Nan and Papa have a relationship with God, and I can tell, I need the same thing. Here's what I want you to see. Your family, your churches, your child's family, eternity is at stake. Folks, please understand this today. Your children are the only thing that you're going to be able to take to heaven with you. And I don't say they're things. I'm just telling you that it's the only tangible thing that you're going to be able to take to heaven. Someone said this statement, and I'm still wrestling with it. Don't give up what is unique to you for something someone else will do. Let me say this to you. Write it down. Don't give up what is unique to you for something someone else will do. What does that mean, Bob? What's unique to you is that you're a dad. Someone else will run the company. And if you do it right, someone else will. Mom, no one else can be a mom to your child. That is your unique role. The rest you will leave behind. So what should be your priority? Making sure that you get to hockey or piano, or making sure that they have every opportunity to embrace the person of Jesus. You can't change the past, my friend, but you can choose to make a brand new end. My prayer is that during this series, you will have taken the time to evaluate your personal and your family priorities. I like what it says here. It's in your notes. You cannot change your ancestors, but you can do something about your descendants. Aren't you glad? I'm not asking you to make sure your kids have religion, because religion is lifeless. I'm asking you to live in such a way, an authentic way, that your children will desire to have the same kind of personal relationship with Jesus that you have. Phillips Craig have a song that's called I Want to Be Just Like You. I'm not going to sing it. Thank you, Jesus. Let me read a couple of words. He climbs into my lap for a good night hug. He calls me Dad and I call him Bub. With his faded old pillow and a bear named Pooh, he snuggles up close and says, I want to be like you. I tuck him in bed and I kiss him goodnight. Tripped over the toys as I turned out the light. And I whisper a prayer that someday he'll see. He's got a father in heaven because he's seen Jesus in me. That's your prayer. Is that your reality? Look at the words of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 32. When Moses had finished reciting these words to Israel, he added, "Take to heart all the words I have given to you. Pass them on as a commandment to your children so they will obey every word of the law. These instructions are not merely words, they are your life. By obeying them, you will enjoy a long life in the land you are crossing the river, Jordan River, to occupy." Underline that these words are not, these instructions are not mere words, they are your life. This book has words. But more than that, it contains a message you and your children need to go from an ordinary life to an extraordinary life because of your relationship with a living God. So I'd like you to do next is intentionally invest Jesus into your family. Have you thought about what kind of legacy you're leaving your kids? Have you thought about the potential you have in being used by God to point your children's friends to Christ? In his book, Who Switched the Price Tags, Tony Campolo related the words of an African-American preacher speaking to his congregation. Look at what he said. "Children," he said, "you're going to die. And one of these days, they're going to take you down to the cemetery, drop you into a hole, throw some dirt on your face, and go back to the church and eat potato salad." Oh, it's so true, folks. The biggest question after a funeral is, where's the food line? "When you were born," he continued, "you will be alone crying. You were alone crying and everyone else was happy. The important question I want to ask you is this. When you die, are you alone going to be happy leaving everybody else crying? The answer depends on whether you live to gain titles or testimonies. When they lay you in the grave, are people going to stand around you giving testimonies of the good things you did for them? Will you leave behind just a newspaper column telling people how important you were? Or will you leave people crying who gave testimonies of how they've lost the best friend they ever had?" End of quote. So when you're sitting in your SUV mumbling about how boring this is or how useless it is to sit and wait for your children, remember that this is your chance to pass on to your children and to their friends the greatest gift in the world, Jesus. I heard about a pastor who took a risky step. He was tired of seeing the drug lords ruin his neighborhood and recruiting his kids, so he decided to do something radical, and he found out who the drug dealers were. And he asked them how they managed to be so successful in recruiting these young people and turning them into an empty, dangerous life. The answer he received from the top drug pusher in the neighborhood was simple but piercing. He said, "I'm here and you're not." Then the pastor, when he appeared shocked, he said that the man went on and said, "When your kids go to school in the morning, I'm there, you're not. When they hang out at the convenience store in the afternoon, I'm there, you're not. When they need someone to feel strong and tough and protected around, I'm there, you're not." He said, "I win, you lose." Mom and Dad, I'm not there, neither are you. But there's so much at risk. Your children need more time, not less time with you. Tim Elmore in his book said this, and I quote, "Although they'd never admit it, each day parents spend more time getting ready in the morning than they do getting their kids ready for life." And children, if you're here and you can hear this, I want to challenge you not to be resistant to your parents' counsel. You see, God did not create parents for the sole purpose of making your life miserable. Amen? I don't know any parent who gets up in the morning and says to themselves, "Oh God, how can I make my kids miserable today?" You may not appreciate this today, but please pack this nugget into your cranium because I want you to remember this. Your parents are doing the very best they know how. And when you become a parent, you will see what I'm saying is crystal clear. Listen to the words of Solomon. Solomon, Proverbs chapter 4. My children, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long, good life. I will teach you wisdom. I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. And if you live a life guarded by wisdom, you won't limp or stumble as you run. Carry out my instructions. Don't forsake them. Guard them, for they will lead you to a fulfilled life. If you're a parent here this morning, please hear the hope that comes from this message. Rather than just think that transporting your kids is tedious, consider it as an opportunity to impart the transforming message of Jesus into the next generation. Remember what joy and freedom the message gave your life. Be consistent and committed to pass it on. Don't be committed so much to your vocation that you won't take a vacation training up your children. Work will always be there. One day your children will not. One day they'll go to college and you won't be able to control them anymore. One day they'll choose a life partner that may not even ask for your permission. But what they can leave with is a relationship with you and with their Savior. So here's my challenge to you this morning. Make your SUV a place for MTV. What does it mean? It's not what you think it's about. I'm talking about maximizing your teachable venue. Seizing the moment to point your friends to a point of transformation because of Jesus. One of the gifts you can give your children is to help them understand and accept that they are a somebody in Jesus. Instill in them self-worth. You can do that daily as you're driving around. Why is that so important? Why is it so important for them to have a clear understanding of who they are? Speaking of MTV, some of you older folk went right to where you heard that the very first time. Madonna got her fame because of MTV. I found a quote by Madonna in my research that speaks volume to us as parents. Listen to her quote. My drive in life is from this horrible fear of being inadequate and mediocre. It's always pushing me and pushing me. Because even though I've become somebody, I still have to prove that I am somebody. My struggle has never ended, and it probably never will. Do your children, do your grandchildren know who they are in God, who they are in Jesus? Do they know their identity? Do they understand how they are loved? Can they see from your life and from my life such a life that is so devoted and authentic and transparent and transformed by the love of Jesus that they can't wait to have an opportunity to meet that Jesus? You see, Madonna's commentary is tragic, but it's so common in our world today. It's common in the homes here in Fort Saskatchewan. That's why when I get up every morning, I thank God for the ministry of this church and the passion so many of you have to help those around you who don't know Jesus. That's why you're here. Not to make your life comfortable, but to love your community enough that you would walk across the road, that you'd walk across the room, that you'd give them hope. So in your notes, there's my prayer for you today. So that's how I'm going to close. Father, help me to see that when I'm traveling in the car with my children or my grandchildren, that you are giving me monumental teaching venues to pass my love for you to them in our daily activities. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand together as the worship team comes.